Lord, we ask that to be our prayer, that we would hear from you and not our own voices, that we would be still and know that you are the God of wonder, the God who loves each one of us individually, and the one who cares deeply to take us places beyond our imagination with your help. Lord, this morning, I do pray that as we spend time looking into your word, and as we hear from Isak and Pastor Dave, Lord, that your words are spoken, not ours. We ask this all in your son's strong name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Well, this morning we're going to take a little detour from our summer series. Pastor Lyle has been taking us through a series of looking at some of the lesser-known kings in the life of Israel. But this morning I'm not going to look at a king, but I'm going to look at one who was the cupbearer to a king. But before we get to that, I'm also very excited that Isak and Viviana and Iram are here. We have waited a long time for this to happen, and it's been a dream of theirs and of ours. And so I want to thank Jesse and Shalina as well, as they have been awesome hosts for Isak and Vivian and his family over the last couple of weeks. Well, in 2006, I had the privilege of leading the very first Moby, Mexico trip down to Mexico City. We had no idea what we would be in for. And in fact, at one point, we weren't sure that we were still going to go. But what we did know is that we believed God had called us to go to a church that we had never been to a pastor we had never met before, and to offer a VBS to them. And this this picture is that first team that we went, that we took down there, and also Isak and his family and the others that helped us on that week. It was an adventure, to say the least. I am so glad that we are obedient, and as a church that you allowed us to go. And I am so grateful that we've been able to continue to partner with them over the past 11 years. This photo was taken, Kip, there you go. This photo was taken on that same trip. And we've been able to partner. Isak's dad is on my left. I guess that's your right. And then Isak is there. And in the background is a very young Pastor Dave, who turned 29 yesterday. But over the course of these 11 years, this partnership has remained strong. But if we were to take the picture today, it would be Pastor Dave on the floor with Isak and Jaime. And I would be somewhere in the distance, in the background as well, as a part of it. Well, once we learned that Isak and Viviana were going to be able to come, we knew that we needed to have them here on a Sunday morning. We really believe that you all needed to be able to meet them and to get to know them a little bit better. And as I began to think about this Sunday and when they were here, the story of Nehemiah kept coming to my mind. I had no idea what I was. In fact, I was on vacation, and I missed a staff meeting. And during that staff meeting, it was decided I was going to preach today because Pastor Lyle was away. As I began thinking, okay, all right, I guess I'm speaking. Lord, what am I going to talk about? The story of Nehemiah kept coming to mind. And as I thought about Nehemiah's story, I could see how Nehemiah and the Becerra's lives were very similar. And I also saw that there are some very practical applications that we here in Edmonton can also apply to our own lives. So this morning, I want us to take a look at three character traits of Nehemiah. And as we start, we're going to start in Nehemiah chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can join me there. It'll also be up on the screen. Nehemiah 1, verses 1 to 4. The word of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hannah and I, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province. Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So here's a little history recap. Israel petitions God for a king. God gives them Saul as their first king. And Saul reigned as their king. And then David took reign as king after Saul. And he served for 40 years as their king. And then during David's reign, Israel became known as a very a strong military power. After David dies. He only turned 29. He hasn't died. After King David dies, he leaves his throne to his son Solomon. Unfortunately, Solomon didn't follow God the way that he should, and judgment is brought upon the kingdom of Israel. And when Solomon dies, the nation of Israel is split into two. 10 tribes are in the north, they're called Israel, and there are 2 tribes to the south, known in Judah. In 722 BC, Assyria invades the northern kingdom and conquers them. And it was at this point that the northern kingdom ceased to exist. There were some from the northern kingdom that were able to escape the Assyrian attack, and they fled to the southern kingdom and lived there with them in Judah. And Judah was able to remain a nation for up to 300 years. But in 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, invaded Jerusalem and all of Judah and took the people captive. And in 2 Chronicles 36, we read what happened to them. He, being King Nebuchadnezzar, carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his successors until the kingdom of Persia came to power. Well, this kingdom of Persia pushed Nebuchadnezzar out, and it was during the reign of Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, and Darius in the area of Medes, that the Jews were able to finally return to Jerusalem. It was actually Cyrus who had ordered or decreed that the temple in Jerusalem should be rebuilt. And so that allowed a remnant of the Jews to finally return to Jerusalem. And this first group returned with Zerubbabel. Now, 80 years pass, and the second group of exiles were able to return under the guidance and the leadership of Ezra. But it's during this time that Cyrus dies. And so a king that was favorable of Jerusalem being rebuilt passes away, and a new king is on the throne. And that happens to be Artaxerxes. And that brings us to Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was serving as the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He and his family were part of the group that had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar and driven from Jerusalem. But Nehemiah had never stopped caring for his city and his people. He knew there were some who had been able to return to Jerusalem, and he earnestly hoped that they were doing well. And this brings us to the first character trait that I'd like us to look at about Nehemiah. Nehemiah had deep care and concern for his people and the city. Look again at Nehemiah 1, verses 2 to 4. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and waited upon the Lord. Nehemiah was the kind of man, the kind of person who cared. He cared about the tradition, the past, and the needs of the present. He cared about the hopes for the future. He cared about his heritage, his ancestral city, and the glory of his God. Nehemiah was physically, emotionally, and spiritually moved at the news of how things were going in Jerusalem. As you look at verse 4 again, read it. When was the last time you were that moved about news about the people that you care about, or a situation or a location that you care about, that it's made you sit down and weep? Over the years, we have tried, not very well, to convey the passion and heart that the Becerras have for the ministries that they have in Mexico City. And this morning, we have the beautiful privilege of hearing firsthand of what they are doing, their passion for their ministry, and also a little bit about who they are, what they do, and also how we can be praying for them. I want to invite Isak up, and Emily is going to translate, so come on up, Isak. Vivi, if you want to come up, you sure can. Isak's a little nervous.
Okay. Hello.
¿Puedes traducir?
We are very happy to stay here. It's our dream be a reality. It's we are very happy with God for staying here. This is my family, esta es mi familia, ella es mi esposa y mi hijo, ella es Viviana, Vivis, y él es mi hijo, tiene 4 años.
This is my wife Viviana, and this is my son Iram, who is 4.
Vivis quiere decir un saludo.
Estoy nerviosa, pero estoy muy contenta de estar aquí con todos ustedes.
I'm a little bit nervous, but we're very happy to be here with all of you.
Hace 6 años... 5 años, queríamos venir hace 5 años, aplicamos nuestra visa.
We've wanted to come for the past 5 or 6 years and we applied for the visa.
Y nos negaron la visa, no nos dieron la visa.
We didn't get the visa, they wouldn't give it to us.
Pero ahora sabemos que no era el plan de Dios ese tiempo, sino el plan de Dios era este tiempo.
Wasn't God's plan at that time.
Y gracias a Dios porque Él usa personas, porque Él usa amigos y porque Dios es bueno.
Thanks to God, because he was able to use people and friends, and he is good.
no probé comida canadiense. No probé la comida canadiense, pero... he probado la gracia de Dios.
Been able to eat the Canadian food, but still gives thanks to God.
Hola. Hola.
Yo soy Irán. Yo soy Irán.
Hola, Irán.
God bless you.
Reciban saludos de la iglesia en la Ciudad de México. We have this problem in Mexico.
We bring greetings from the church in Mexico.
Reciban un fuerte saludo de la iglesia de Monte Sion en la Ciudad de México y también de los hermanos en la iglesia en Huixquilucan.
Bring greetings from the brothers and sisters at the church in Monte Sion in Mexico City and also the church in Huixquilucan.
Nos sentimos como en casa. Muchas gracias por su hospitalidad, por su amistad y sabemos que muchas veces han orado por nosotros.
Thank you for your hospitality and your kindness. We're very grateful for all of you.
Nosotros estamos trabajando en un lugar cerca de la Ciudad de México. Este lugar está cerca, sin tráfico, como 40 minutos, con tráfico como 2 horas, 3 horas.
We are working in an area of Mexico City that is either 40 minutes away, depending on traffic, or 2 hours.
Sí. Este lugar es muy especial para nosotros porque nosotros iniciamos nuestro ministerio como pareja aquí en Huixquilucan y Dios nos ha bendecido mucho.
It's very, very special. It's very special to them to work there and to partner with the church in Mexico City.
Nosotros en Huixquilucan trabajamos con la gente en aquel lugar. Es un lugar donde, aunque está cerca de la ciudad, tiene costumbres muy arraigadas de un pueblo pequeño.
Costumbres muy católicas.
They work in an area where there is a large Catholic population.
Es un problema para nosotros el poder hablar de Cristo a la gente porque la gente piensa conocer a Jesús, pero la realidad es que ellos solamente siguen una religión.
It's a problem because they can talk to Jesus about the people, and the people think that they know Jesus, but they don't really have a relationship with him. It's more about religion than relationship. Try it again.
Tenemos problemáticas como en todas las comunidades. Tenemos problemas en la gente joven. Ahora en estos momentos hay problemas en las chicas que están embarazadas a los 14, 15 años.
In this area, there's many problems with the youth and with the young girls who are getting pregnant at about 14 or 15 years old.
También hemos conocido muchas problemáticas de jóvenes que se han suicidado.
Sí. There are also problems with the youth related to suicide and other things like that.
También hay problemáticas en las familias que están rotas.
Broken families as well.
Y los padres toman mucho y los jóvenes tienen también problemas de drogadicción.
Problems with drugs as well.
Pero en medio de todo esto hemos podido ver la mano de Dios en nuestras vidas.
But despite all of this, we can still see the hand of God in our lives.
Ha sido difícil permanecer estos años sirviendo en aquel lugar porque a veces no hemos podido ver en cantidad que haya mucha gente, pero sí hemos visto que los hermanos han permanecido en su fe.
It is difficult sometimes to see these people that are suffering. There's not a lot of people at the church at times, which is difficult.
Pero hemos podido ver la gracia de Dios en nuestras vidas.
But we can still see the grace of God in our lives.
Hemos también podido comprar nuestro terreno en Huixquilucan para construir una iglesia.
Oh, we were able to buy the land by the church in Huixquilucan.
Nosotros pensamos que es un lugar muy grande, pero al venir a Canadá nos damos cuenta de que aquí hay mucha tierra.
We think it's a very large area in Huixquilucan, but when we come to Canada, we see that it maybe isn't.
Posiblemente podemos llevar algo de tierra a México.
Maybe we can bring land to Mexico.
Nuestro sueño para la comunidad en Huixquilucan es poder construir una iglesia en aquel lugar porque sería la primera iglesia en esa comunidad.
Our dream is to build a church in this area in Huixquilucan because there isn't a Christian church in this area.
Entonces, pedimos de sus oraciones, sabemos que ustedes oran por nosotros, pero pedimos de sus oraciones para poder seguir y continuar con este lugar, porque la gente necesita conocer a Jesús.
We ask for your prayers for us as we continue to minister in this area and prayers for the people in Huixquilucan as well.
También reciban un saludo de los pastores Jaime y Sara.
We also bring greetings from Pastors Jaime and Sarah.
Ellos están trabajando en la Ciudad de México, en un lugar cerca del Estadio Azteca, si alguien conoce el Estadio Azteca.
They are working in an area in Mexico City, very close to Azteca Stadium.
Ellos están trabajando igualmente con las familias. Es la problemática en México es que se han perdido los valores y las familias están rotas.
They are also working with families where the problem is again there are broken families and difficulties within.
Ellos trabajan con las familias y están teniendo eventos para trabajar con matrimonios.
They work doing events with families, events around marriages and things like that.
La visión en Santa Úrsula es poder tener las instalaciones adecuadas para seguir trabajando en el ministerio.
They wish to continue working in ministry in this area in Santa Úrsula.
Agradecemos su amistad, amor y compañerismo para con nosotros.
We are grateful for your love and for your friendship.
Y nosotros nos sentimos muy bendecidos cada dos años cuando sus hijos o ustedes van o cuando sus amigos o familiares van con nosotros.
We are very excited when your friends and your children come to Mexico to see us.
Queremos decirles muchas gracias.
We want to say thank you very much.
Porque el estar aquí y conocer su cultura.
Oh, we are very grateful to stay here and to see your culture.
Podemos entender los sacrificios que hacen al ir a México.
We are able to better understand some of the difficulties that the youth may face when they come to Mexico.
Porque tenemos mucha lluvia en México y se inunda muchas veces las calles o como la primera vez la iglesia.
We have lots of rain in Mexico, or the differences in our streets and the traffic and things that are just very different for the youth when they come to Mexico compared to here.
Es una bendición muy grande porque aprendemos de ustedes el poder compartir, el poder dar a los demás sin esperar nada a cambio.
It is like a great vision to work together, and we have hope that this will continue and we are able to do more work together.
Cuando ustedes van como un grupo, Dios abre puertas en la gente.
When you come as a group, God opens doors in the people.
Porque la gente no puede entender cómo una persona de otro país puede dar algo sin esperar nada a cambio.
Because the people of Mexico don't necessarily understand why we would come to Mexico City to be there with them.
Y eso impacta la vida de la gente afuera de la iglesia, pero también adentro de la iglesia.
It's a part of the people's life away from the church, but also in the church.
Porque esto también ha motivado a que gente dentro de la iglesia quiera servir más.
It's good for the church because the people then want to come and be a part of the church.
Entonces, queremos agradecerles todas las atenciones, queremos agradecerles que tengan el tiempo y el amor por Cristo para enviar a estos grupos y ayudarnos en México para compartir el Evangelio de Cristo.
We are very grateful for you, for your love, and for your help in sending these groups to Mexico.
Quiero leer 1 Corintios 3, del 6 al 9.
I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 9.
Prometo que solo me voy a tardar una hora más y ya termino. I promise only 1 hour more and I finish. Oh. Okay. Primera de Corintios 3, del 6 al 9. That's right. Yeah, it's okay.
Sí.
Yeah, it's okay. 1 hour more. Yeah, sure. Okay. Maybe only my wife and me. Maybe. Yo planté, Apolo regó, pero el crecimiento lo ha dado Dios. Así que ni el que planta es algo, ni el que riega, sino Dios, que da el crecimiento. Y el que planta y el que riega son una misma cosa, aunque cada uno recibirá su recompensa conforme a su labor. Porque nosotros somos colaboradores de Dios, y vosotros sois labranzas de Dios, edificio de Dios.
I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
Somos colaboradores de Dios.
We are collaborators in God.
Prosigamos a nuestra meta.
We are God's instrument.
No se cansen nunca de seguir a Cristo.
We never get tired of of getting to know God.
Permanezcan en fe.
But we remain in faith.
Porque toda la gloria es para Cristo.
But for everything is for God.
Solamente Dios puede obrar en nuestras vidas.
Only God can work in our lives.
Muchas gracias por todo lo que nos han brindado. Nos sentimos muy bendecidos.
Thank you for everything. We are very grateful.
Okay. No more. Queremos agradecer también a Jesse y Shelina por todo lo que han hecho por nosotros. Muchas gracias.
We also want to say thank you to Jesse and Shelina for everything they have done for us.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Isaac and Viviana and Iram and Emily. And Isaac wasn't kidding when he said we have the same issues with technology in Mexico City. I apologize to those of you on the live stream and in the hospitality if you missed anything. Come back for the second service, and maybe we'll have it working by then. But what you just experienced there is a little snapshot of what it's like when we go into their churches, and Pastor Dave or others who can't speak Spanish are speaking, and then the translation. Emily is there to try and help us translate it back into Spanish and help people understand. Well, the second character trait that I would like us to look at is Nehemiah's natural response to make prayer his first response. Verse 4 tells us that Nehemiah spent some days mourning, fasting, and praying about the situation. And those days were actually 4 months. Nehemiah took 4 months to petition God on behalf of the Jews and to listen for God's direction. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Hand Me Another Brick, which takes a look at the book of Nehemiah, gives us 4 short reasons why he believes prayer is so important. And the first reason is that prayer makes us wait. If you think about it, it's hard to be putting your hand to work and pray at the same time. You can do both, but you're really not giving one full attention as it should. And so if we're praying, it causes us to leave the situation with God and then wait for God. Prayer clears our vision. You know, if you've experienced a foggy morning or on a drive, all of a sudden here this fog patch comes and you can hardly see anything. It takes the sun to come and burn off that fog. Or maybe this summer you've been somewhere where the fires in BC, the smoke is blown in and you can't see what you're used to seeing, and it takes a change in a wind to blow that smoke away and be able to clear the vision. Prayer is like that, like the sun to the fog and the wind to the smoke. It gives us the ability to have clear vision and to see things through God's eyes. Prayer quiets our hearts. You can't worry and pray at the same time. You're either doing one or you're doing the other. Prayer quiets our anxiousness. And prayer activates our faith. It's usually after a period of time where you're praying that we're more prone to trust God. Well, Nehemiah doesn't respond to the news with complaining. He doesn't shrug his shoulders and say, well, what can I do? No, he takes the time to pray. And in that, he takes ownership of and accountability for the situation. Let's look at a part of his prayer. In Nehemiah 1, verses at the tail end of verse 6 through verse 9, this is Nehemiah praying. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. At some point during this 4 months of praying and fasting over the situation, Nehemiah recognizes that the burden that he is carrying for Jerusalem is going to require his personal involvement. Now, a little bit of backstory of what's going on in this situation is that, you know, you heard that Cyrus allowed the rebuilding of Jerusalem's temple. But when Artaxerxes came into power, the people in that area had sent him a petition saying, King, you need to stop this building and you need to actually look into the history of this city and what will happen if you allow them to continue to build the wall. And that if you continue to allow them to build a wall, it won't be good for your kingdom and your reign. This brings us to the third character trait of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was compelled to act. After waiting for 4 months, Nehemiah knows he has to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall around the city and restore the city itself. Now, Nehemiah is taking his life in his hands by championing this city that has been sold to the king as a hotbed of rebellion. Even coming before the king as his cupbearer and showing his grief could end up costing him his life. But Nehemiah's willingness to obey God no matter what outweighs his self-interest and self-preservation and places his life and the situation in God's hand. Let's look at a little bit more of Nehemiah's prayer in verse 11. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, Artaxerxes, the one who had said, no more building. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we read the interaction between Nehemiah and the king. Nehemiah first asks if the king will allow him to return to Jerusalem, his hometown, and rebuild the walls. Nehemiah also asks for help in the process. Letters to the governors and letters to the people who own the materials that they're going to need to rebuild the area. And when Nehemiah is granted permission to go and he has these letters, he goes to the city and he surveys it himself and sees what's actually happened and what condition it is in. And after he has taken account of it, he comes to the people, the remnant that is there, and asks them for their help. Just as Nehemiah didn't try and rebuild Jerusalem on his own, you've heard that the Beceras are not trying to do the ministry in Mexico City on their own. They have invited us as a church to be a part of their ministry. They would love if we would send a team every year, which I would love to do that, but it's not feasible. But we have been able to go every other year. And I'm going to invite Pastor Dave to come up and talk about the partnership that is currently in place and also what's going to be happening this next summer.
Good morning. We are eagerly anticipating our next trip down to Mexico City in the summer of 2018. Like Terry has mentioned, we've gone 6 times before since 2006, and just excited to be able to go back. We started doing some planning for what the trip's going to look like. Myself and Pastor Terry went down to Mexico earlier this year to have some conversations and do some strategic planning with Isaac and his family and Pastor Jaime and a number of the other leaders that are around there. And we're looking forward to some of the opportunities that we have to do some training and equipping with some of their leaders and working with the youth in the area specifically. We're also looking at ways where we can partner better with the locals while we're working down there so that they can continue the work while we're gone, perhaps leading a VBS on the years when we're not able to be down there. And they're excited to be able to continue to partner with us as in the discipleship of our youth and the leaders that we send down to Mexico City. It very much is a cool partnership that goes both ways, which we're really excited about. You saw pictures from the first trip down there. I turned 18 on that trip when we went down that first time. So I went as a youth, as like a lot of our students go. And these trips have had a profound impact on my life, have made me the person that I am today, and to be able to be here doing what I'm doing today. And then I know that it's been that for a lot of people over the years. And you guys have been a huge part of that. So just thank you from us as well for all your support over the years. In the next couple of months, we're going to be putting together our team for the next trip. So you can be praying for the youth and the leaders and their families as they think about if this is something that they're going to be a part of and something that they're going to spend their summer and this whole year actually planning and doing. So we're going to start doing planning and training and fundraising as well coming up this next year. So you can anticipate that coming and so appreciate all of the support that you've given over the years. And in advance, thank you for your support of this next missions trip.
Thanks, Dave. Well, as I was preparing for today's message, I kept thinking about how easily the Becerras' love, their concern, their passion for their ministry, their city, and the people around them to be like Nehemiah's love for his people in Jerusalem and the city. I've seen the worry and the burden that the Becerras carry for the people that they serve. I've seen the burden that they carry for the relationships they are in and when those relationships have brokenness in them. And I've seen them pray. And I've seen them ask for prayer support as they seek to discern God's will and God's direction, not only for their own lives, but for the ministry that God has entrusted to them. This morning, I'm wondering if there are some situations in your own life that have you weighed down. Just like Jerusalem with its broken down walls, are there relationships or situations in your life that are in need of repair? Nehemiah didn't just care about the city wall. He cared about the people. It mattered to him that the people living in Jerusalem were doing well. Back in June, Pastor Lyle challenged us, well, actually asked us, to pray for a heart of compassion for those who don't know Jesus personally, that we know, and to write their names down and then continue to pray and look for opportunities to share Jesus with them. How are we doing with our lists? I know when I'm faced with a tough situation, I can easily rely on my own wisdom and instincts to fix the situation. But when I do that, there are sometimes when I rely on my own wisdom and instincts, I look at the situation and I go, I hope it fixes itself, because in my eyes, there's no way I can do it in my own strength. But what I see in today's passage is that should not be our pattern. If there is a broken down wall in our lives, whether that be relationally in our family or with our friends or coworkers or spiritually, we shouldn't just complain about it or shrug it off. We need to own up to what is our part in this breakdown. Seek forgiveness and ask God how to begin the rebuilding in God's strength, not our own. As we wrap up, I hope you have found that the character traits that we find in the life of Nehemiah are also character traits that you yourselves can possess. Nehemiah cared deeply. Caring is hard work. Sometimes when we care, we get hurt. But we can't let the fear of being hurt keep us from caring deeply. Nehemiah prayed first. His concern over Jerusalem brought him to his knees in prayer. Even though the answer to that prayer and the things that he was hearing was unwise and dangerous, he took the risk because he trusted God. And then Nehemiah took action. Some of that action was just to pray, and to pray for 4 months to discern what God would want him to do. But once he knew what God wanted him to do, he acted on it. This morning, I don't know what has struck you in the service. Maybe it's the heart that Esau and his family have for their ministry. Maybe it's a burden for the lost in your family or in our city or somewhere in the world. Maybe it's a strained or broken relationship that has gone on too long, and you know it's time to do something about it. Whatever God has placed on your heart, I hope that you will pray fervently about it and then act on what God is directing. This morning, before we close, we want to do something special because the Beceras are here, and we are wanting to pray a blessing over them and the ministry that they have. And then we've asked Esau if he would also pray a blessing over us as McKernan. Often when we are down there, this is something that takes place, is that they will pray a blessing over us as we return to continue to serve faithfully. And so, Esau, will you come, and those that will be joining me on the stage for this time of prayer of blessing.
We like to throw curveballs when we're down in Mexico, so I thought I'd throw one a little bit this morning. For Isaac and his family, serving down in Mexico, they're the vast minority in what they do. So it can be hard when you're working, putting all your energy and your passion into serving God, and you feel like you're doing it alone. So whenever we go down to Mexico, I know it's a big support and encouragement for them. I was just wondering if we could just take a second this morning. If you've gone on one of the Mexico trips, would you stand? If you're a family member, a parent of someone that's gone on these Mexico trips, would you take a second to stand? And if you've partnered with us prayerfully, financially, over any of these trips, over all the years, would you please stand? We stand with you in the ministry and the work that you are doing. We love you, and we have your back, and we just look forward to what God is continuing to do in these partnerships. Thank you.
Oh, David. Gee. They often pray for us this way, so it's a great privilege. I'd invite all of you to stand, and I'd invite you to raise your hand forward as we bless them and pray for them. Father God, we come to you today as the God of all. You are the Lord of all the nations, and as we stand before you and pray for our friends, our family in Mexico City, we know that you are their Lord and Savior, and you sustain them, and you empower them. And we pray that today that message of empowerment continues to speak to Isaac, to Bibis, to Iram, to Jaime, to Sarah, their family, as they serve you with all of their energy in desiring to speak words of hope and life and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, we know that that is a heavy work. And even in that, they're also holding full-time jobs and doing ministry. And so, Lord, we know that in that way, it's a little bit like a tent maker that Paul was. And so we pray that you would continue to provide for the Becerra family financially, emotionally, spiritually, in their tireless work in Mexico City and Huixquilucan. We pray that they would be encouraged to continue to step forward with real trust in you, even when they only see small results, But God, we know that you can bring deep things. And even as they rejoice in all that you're doing, I pray that you'd continue to powerfully impact the people of Mexico City and Huixquilucan for you. God, they need you. They need to understand what it is to have a relationship with you, not to follow as a tradition. And so, Lord, we pray that their hearts would be tender to be able to receive that message of truth and to be able to respond to it in a way that causes them to go against culture, to be able to respond and say, no, I want a relationship with this Jesus. God, we pray specifically for the church at Huixquilucan because we know it's a newer church and we know that it is one of the only Christian churches in that area, and that Isaac and Bibi's heart for that city is so great. And that they see the need of people in broken relationships, broken families, girls who are pregnant without husbands and very young. We see drug use, all of the things that they encounter, and people in deep need. I pray, Lord, that that deep need would create a hunger in them to be able to respond to you. God, we pray for physical provision for that church. We're so grateful that even in a place where they did not think they would get the permit to buy that land, and that you provided it. So you're already providing that land for them. I pray that you would empower them to be able to walk out ministry there and to be able to build a church that would serve you and bring light to that community. God, we pray that they would be encouraged by this time in Canada, that they would be empowered, and that you would be honored and glorified in a way that brings fresh wind into, that your Holy Spirit would wash over them in deep ways so that they are deeply empowered to bring truth to their people. We pray for the partnership that we have, that you would continue to infuse life into those high school teams that go and those leaders, and that it would become even stronger, and that you would teach us what it is to do work cross-culturally, and that even as the Becerras have such deep influence on our students. Lord, we have not seen love demonstrated like that in a lot of other places. We know that it has powerfully impacted our students and our families. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue that work. We want to honor and glorify you through all we do, and pray that Isaac and Bibis, Iram, Jaime, and Sarah and their family would step boldly before you and ask you to continue to lead their steps. We ask this in Jesus' name. Isaac.
Dios, te damos la gloria, Señor, y te agradezco, Señor, infinitamente lo que tú haces en nuestras vidas, Señor. Gracias, Jesús, por el sacrificio que hiciste en la cruz, Señor. Porque por medio del sacrificio tú nos permites ahora llamarnos hermanos y hermanas en ti. Gracias porque en la cruz tú nos hiciste hermanos y hermanas, Señor. Gracias por todo lo que haces en nuestras vidas. Gracias porque solamente podemos ver tu infinita gracia, Señor. Porque nosotros, Señor, nos movemos conforme a tu voluntad, Señor. Te pido, Señor, que tú bendigas, Señor, a esta iglesia. Que tú bendigas, Señor, esta parte de tu cuerpo. Te agradezco, Señor, por esta familia que tenemos aquí en Canadá, Señor. Gracias por esta familia tan preciosa. Gracias porque tú nos permites, Señor, conocerles, Señor. Tú nos permites, Señor, llamarnos, Señor, amigos, llamarnos hermanos y hermanas. Gracias por todo lo que tú haces, Señor. Bendícelo, Señor. Que continúen creciendo en tu fe, que se fortalezcan, Señor, día con día. Que ellos, Señor, puedan también impactar, Señor, a sus vecinos, a sus amigos aquí en Canadá. Que ellos también continúen, Señor, esparciendo, Señor, la semilla del Evangelio aquí, Señor. Y que no apagues la llama, Señor, que tú has puesto aquí, Señor, de llevar el Evangelio a otras naciones, Señor. Sino que tú levantes, Señor, levantes misioneros, Señor, que tú levantes maestros, que tú levantes líderes, Señor. Es una bendición para mí, Señor, ver jóvenes, Señor, que estuvieron hace 10 años en México y que ahora son pastores, que ahora son líderes, que ahora son padres de familia, Señor. Y que tú continúes, Señor, con esta nueva generación, Señor. Que cada generación que ha ido a México y que ha servido, Señor, no se pierda, sino que ellos prosigan a la meta. Que cada uno de los familiares, Señor, cada uno de la familia, Señor, que ha sido movido para ayudar, Señor, que ha sido movido para ayudar en lo económico, Señor. Cada uno de mis hermanos, Señor, que han apoyado económicamente, Señor, tú bendíceles, Padre. Tú bendices, Señor, esta iglesia, esta tu iglesia, Señor, esta parte de tu cuerpo, Señor. Muchas gracias, Señor, porque tú nos das estas bellas experiencias aquí, Señor. Y solamente podemos imaginarnos, Señor, que un día, Señor, estaremos contigo, Señor, por la eternidad. Solamente podemos decirte gracias por esto que nos permite, Señor, ver ahora. Te agradecemos todo, Señor. En nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén.
Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Amén. Am